Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
For all things ATL.
ATL.
For everything Falcons.
First to the end zone, touchdown!
This is Peachtree Football. Now, your host, Dylan Matthews and Bo Morgan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, alongside the man, the myth, the legend himself, Bo Morgan, a.k.a. Squidbilly, who is back in his, well, it's not technically Atlanta. What city do you live in again, Squidbilly? I forget.
I'm in Woodstock.
Woodstock.
Metro area. You can just say, you know, you can say,
right.
If you tell anybody that's not familiar with Atlanta, yeah, I live in Woodstock.
Where?
Atlanta.
Squidbilly.
I did that one time, right. In a Cracker Barrel. years ago, I think I was in college or something, and we went on a road trip.
Yeah.
And where are you guys from? I was like, I'm from Dallas, Georgia. Where? Woodstock. Obviously, Woodstock. I said Atlanta. Oh, yeah. I know Atlanta. Yeah, Woodstock is a suburb of Atlanta. It's right outside Atlanta. No clue. You know, in Dallas, Georgia, where I grew up, was, what, 40 minutes outside? Or actually, probably closer to an hour.
Dallas is kind of far away.
But because there's no interstate. But, yeah, right. So I'm in Woodstock, back at my home studios for Peachtree Football, and at times Dukes and Bell and The Other Side of the Glass and whatever other show that I may or may not appear on at that point in time. So back. I'm happy to be home. Got home. We landed last night, I think, around 2-something. And I think I got home after we got the bus took us to where we were parked. Uh-huh. I think I got home about 3:15, 3:30, something like that. So.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Late night for Squidbilly. But how much was that tale of Lola's wagon when she finally saw you? She was probably asleep when you got home. I don't know if she woke up or not, but she definitely saw you this morning.
She was awake before I could hear her as I was opening the door.
Okay.
In fact, I walked up the stairs and I heard the front door and I heard her. And yeah. I opened the door and I came in and she didn't come out. And I was like, it's weird. And I think she was making a noise. She was waiting for me to make a noise that sounded familiar.
Right.
And I think I mumbled something because I ran into something or somewhat. And all of a sudden I heard, you know, because it's funny because with her, and I know we're way off topic and people don't really care, but we cut her nails, try to do a good job of staying on her nails, but we had hardwood floors. So when they get long enough to be cut again, you can hear her.
Right.
And
get a little pitter patter.
And I'm like, uh-oh, here she comes. And yeah, she came in and it was just like kisses galore. She was attacking me like she was 150 pounds. So it's funny. Awesome. She's happy. She's happy that I'm back. And I would try to go to bed last night. And I was like, all right, I'm going to lay in bed, you know. And I sit down and she's like,
right there.
My face on my chest. Like, dude. I'm like, dude, what's you got to like give me some space.
Right.
So
like, no, you're not getting any space. I haven't seen you for like a week. You're not getting any space for me.
Well, I had my hand on her,
uh-huh,
on her back, you know, like because she, and then I would you know, move my hand. I was trying to watch. I think we've had this conversation on other shows.
Yeah,
I need the TV on when I go to sleep. It just helps me kind of wind down. And
right,
you know, my mind goes 1,000 miles an hour if I don't. And so I would go. I was trying to find something on, and I'm like, dude. You're sitting on me. Like, right. I just, my hands on her, like, so I would, it was just, she was being ridiculous. She was being very needy. Needy. She had a
very
long
needy
week.
Very needy and dramatic from Alola, who hasn't seen her dad in over a week. So it's understandable both ways. But, no, it's good to have you back. I'm glad you had safe travels, and it's good to have you back in Atlanta, Squidbilly. But
By the way, if anyone's wondering, we are talking about my dog.
Because, yes, yes.
But because it is my baby. You're right. And she thinks of me as her dad.
Yeah.
But I did say, I didn't make a point that I could hear her. And then, you know, moving around. And then she has long nails now. We got to cut them. I don't want people to think there's any child abuse or anything going on. It's just a dog. And we're getting her nails cut. I'm probably going to do it tonight because I was like, okay, I can hear you too much. But anyways, we had to clarify.
If you ever hear Lola on this podcast, we were talking about Lola the dog, just to make that clear. But no.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Most importantly, Boy Morgan, the Falcons got a victory. Their first victory of the season as they defeat the Seattle Seahawks 27-23. And there were moments, Bo Morgan, one specifically, where we were all scared and we were like, oh man, not again. As you know, there was a muffed fumble, muffed handoff, I said, that resulted in a fumble from Marcus Mariota, Tyler Allgeier. You could blame the fumble really on either one. But we did recover it. Well, no, actually, we didn't recover. The Seahawks recovered it, but the defense came up big. A sack by Grady Jarrett, followed by an interception by Richie Grant, helped seal the victory. So it was close. It was a close call. We were sweating, but we got the victory, Bo Morgan. And I know it was a happy flight back home. It's probably as happy as we could have been coming back home to Atlanta.
Yeah, happy flight, happy load. And it was it was all nice. Yeah, let's go ahead and tackle the elephant in the room, which is the one of a couple, but the Marcus Mariota stuff with the fumble. Mm-hmm. Impossible for me to know whose fault that was on. Impossible, really, for anyone to know,
right?
Unless they knew the play call.
Exactly.
And honestly, even then, when you do the zone read, this is one of the reasons why I'm not a huge fan of zone read late in games, because you can blame it on Marcus. You can also blame it on Allgeier.
Right.
I kind of get both of them. The reality of the situation is, you have to protect the football. And when we say on our broadcast, literally the one, you know, hey, most important thing is protect the ball. And literally the ball goes on the ground. It's crazy to think, but here's the thing. I can't blame both guys or one guy without saying, hey, this is a communication issue between a rookie running back and a first year starter on this team. I know he's been a starter in his career. It was a rough situation. Ultimately, the guy making more money gets blamed. The veteran gets blamed.
Yep.
And that's Marcus. But the reality of the situation is, I don't know. And did Allgeier – the camera angle was hard for me to see. Did Allgeier clamp as he tried to pull? Did Marcus try to pull the ball late?
Right.
That's where you can kind of assess blame, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of the situation is, I need both guys to be better. Right now, Marcus is our quarterback. And right now, Tyler Allgeier is our number two running back. And hopefully moving forward. So you got to clean that crap up. I'm not going to sit here and I told you I don't know who to blame 100%. And I don't want to sit here and throw shade. They got to clean it up. That's how you lose games in the NFL. A good team beats you yesterday because of that. That's you do that against Cleveland, you're probably losing.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're just better. Although Seattle looked pretty damn good yesterday on offense, and I think some of that was what we allowed them to do. But reality of the situation is, clean those issues up because we can't have them.
Yeah, and let's get into that a little bit, because I'm glad you brought that up, what they were able to do on offense. Because, Bo, coming into the game, Cleveland, that's who we played next week. Seattle, who we played yesterday, they were only averaging 56 yards per game coming into this game. They got 56 yards within their first two drives. That's rushing the ball. 56 yards rushing the ball, that is. They had 56 yards on the ground in their first two drives of the game. They finished with over 100 yards rushing. So what did you see, at least, that was happening in that defense that was allowing Rashad Penny to get the holes that he was getting? Because there were times where he was gashing us for 10, 15-yard runs. And, I mean, they were happening a couple times during each Seattle Seahawks drive. So what were you seeing that was allowing Rashad Penny and that offensive line and that Seattle Seahawks offense to get a good running game going?
Well, I think we got to remember that early in games, there's a lot, you know, especially the first drive that teams come out with, they're normally scripted, you know, that's a scripted drive. So there's something that they saw certain looks on film that they thought they could run against. And they came out and tried it with based on personnel, they probably forced, you know, they kind of forced the hand of what they wanted to see. Mm-hmm. I thought there were times in the game where the Falcons basically had, three linebackers and, and three down linemen, and you would count the edge rusher being the fourth. I think maybe they got caught in some packages where they kind of were kind of ran out of position. I thought there was also some situations where, they kind of would run to their side where they thought they had the most opportunity, and it just panned out. But if you go look, that first, it was really the first two drives where they had some success running the football, and then Atlanta did a really good job of tightening it up and allowing it to only get a couple of yards. Also, you know, their success though on first down yesterday early in the game really put the Falcons in some bad situations. They weren't tested a lot. And you know, Geno Smith did what Geno Smith's done all year.
Yeah.
I know that it's easy to rip on Geno and from what he's been, but look, another day, he threw, you know, coming, the problem for me is coming into this game, he had only thrown for 392 yards all season.
Which now, is not a lot considering through 2 weeks.
Yeah, he was completing 81%, and he only had two touchdowns. Well, he had two touchdowns and 325 yards in this game. And the lack of ability to win up front at points in this game really hurt the Falcons. Right. Now, they got the pass rush going late, which was really key. And honestly, it ended up being the difference in the game. The fact that they were able to get to him late in the game really changed it. Because Grady Jarrett always plays well against Seattle. He had another five tackles, three of them, Garrett, Dylan. I'm sorry.
Wrong dopey millennial.
I don't know why. I saw G Jarrett on my notes, and I go, Garrett. But three of those five tackles were for loss, including a sack. You got to, you know, he played well. He always plays well. You know, Rashawn Evans played well, although I'd have liked to seen he only had one tackle for loss. But the one thing that Rashawn Evans did is he got his hands on some balls. He tipped some balls, one of which definitely saved the first down. The other probably cost Richie Grant his first interception of his career.
Yeah, it did.
He did end up getting to, because that tip kind of threw off the ball. And Richie made it a tougher catch.
Yeah.
but I just thought that they kind of got us in some looks, to answer your question, that maybe hurt us, or they thought they could do some damage, and they did. But give Dean Pease or Dean Smith or Drew Pease or Dean Breeze, whoever the hell was actually calling the defense, according to the NFL on Fox crew, Chris Myers, awful. But whoever was actually calling our defense yesterday, did a good job making adjustments to get the run and was able to hamp that. It just, this team, Dylan, they run a lot of, me and Arch were talking about this, they run, and I was saying, hey, you know, they like to dink and dunk and kind of take what you're giving. He goes, but they run a lot of crossing routes too. They'll line up in these pyramids formations, what we were calling them, where they have basically a triangle of receivers right there.
Right.
And when you're playing off, you know, they kind of seem to it kind of helps create separation. It gets these guys 7-10 yards down the field.
Right.
And then before you make any contacts, I thought Geno did a really good job of taking what the defense gave him. And that led to some of that yesterday.
Yeah, and the thing about the crossing routes too, a lot of those crossing routes kind of had that, you know, what Dave Archer was calling them on the broadcast. They had a lot of that, you know, rub action. There were a lot of rub routes where there was a slight pick where it wasn't, you know, illegal. It was just, you know, well, play calling. Well, the defender kind of had to move out of the way of the other offensive player, and that created the separation that you were talking about. So there was definitely some good play calling. Like you said, a lot of crossing routes, a lot of rub routes going on as well. So Gino, he definitely took what the defense gave him as well. And also, it's funny. Did you know Kyle Pitts actually went to Oregon? He didn't go to Florida, Bo. He went to Oregon.
Yes, that's that's amazing. That's really crazy to hear.
Right.
I'm glad to know that that's where he went. I mean, I all those games I watched him at Florida. I guess that was just maybe that was Kyle Mitts. I don't know.
Not Kyle Mitts. Oh no, that's hilarious. But no, seriously, the one thing that helped us out, and like you talked about late in games, when we got them in obvious passing situations and when we made Geno Smith push the ball down the field, he did not have a lot of success doing that. And part of that it was thanks to got some pressure when we were able to get them in them long passing situations. And then part of that too is I think A.J. Terrell had a pretty good bounce back game. He had not had a great, you know, he not had a great couple of first games. He will tell you himself that he struggled, but I think he did a fairly good job on DK Metcalf. Had a couple of pass breakups, had a couple of pass deflections, did a couple of really nice jobs covering. So A.J. Terrell, I think, had a very nice bounce back game, which was imperative because it really did not allow Geno Smith to push the ball down the field. I mean, I know they really weren't trying to do that a whole lot anyway, but when they did, it wasn't really there and wasn't really open. And I think a lot of that is part of how the secondary played.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Well, they do want to take shots with DK Metcalf and Tyler right. Lockett to an extent.
Yes.
And they did take a shot or two, and I thought your point, AJ, was there. Even the touchdown, I don't know who's – you know, you go back and you look at it, and we talked about it. Looks like AJ kind of releases him. Because they were in it would appear to be zone,
and
Hawkins didn't get there in time, so it's just like it's not a whole AJ, look at him giving up more touchdowns. It was kind of a joint thing,
right?
And that's what happens with some of the zone coverages where you have a guy to a certain extent. But I do think, and I'd love to hear someone ask Dean Pease about this, you know, on that touchdown, like, hey, coach, can you go through what happened there? Obviously Dean is ahead of the game football knowledge with most of us, but it, you know, it did appear to be zone and it was at a play where maybe depends because of where they're at, just AJ got to recognize. I'd have to go back and watch the entire thing,
right?
The actual play again, because I can't really tell if there was another guy there that maybe AJ was paying attention to, but maybe AJ should just go with that. Maybe you should just let AJ match up with a guy like DK Metcalf in the red zone anyways. I don't know. That was a thing that I had talked about all week.
Yeah.
Was the red area and how that was an important thing. And this team had not scored touchdowns in the red area. We hadn't scored them ourselves. We were only going 50%, and the Seahawks had three possessions in the red area with no touchdowns. Now, the thing I would like to say is that the Seahawks had five possessions in the red area, and they only scored two touchdowns out of it.
That's what you needed to do.
So that was an improvement by our defense, and honestly, our offense went down there and scored three times out of four, which they were coming in at 50%. They had only scored two touchdowns in the red zone all year.
Yeah.
So to go ahead and top that with three and to add, you know, go 75%, that was good to me. That was a step. That's how you win games. And that was the game where despite the little things popping up, like the Mariota fumble, the Mariota Algier miscommunication on the zone read, the fumble, you were still able to overcome that. You did the little things this week.
You did.
And that was important. That's something I've harked on. And I hope that this team, a young team, kind of found out and realized, hey, that there was one of the things they got to learn how to win games, learn how to win games.
Right.
This was a game where I felt like they won. They didn't get handed them. They went and won because they learned how to finish a little bit better. And that was important.
Yeah, no, very important. That was the thing that really was holding them back in the first two games. You just didn't finish. You didn't make the plays. You didn't execute down the stretch when it counted the most. And they did that this week on defense. You know, you got to get a stop. And they did that. Grady Jarrett gets a big sack. And even before that, I think Lorenzo Carter got a sack. And then Grady Jarrett gets a sack. And then Richie Grant gets that interception. So big plays were made when they needed to. And you finished the ball game. And you made the plays when you needed to. So that was vitally important. I want to switch to the offense a little bit now, Bo Morgan, because, man, we got to talk about this guy. Because, I mean, Cordell Patterson had himself a day. And we thought he went off in the Saints game. Man, he went off against the Seattle Seahawks yesterday. Could not be stopped. Hurdling guys, running guys over. I mean, Cordell Patterson looks like he's been drinking out of the fountain of youth these past two seasons for the Atlanta Falcons. So, I know Cordell Patterson was making a lot of great runs, running very physical, running very hard. But I think we need to start giving some credit to this offensive line, Bo Morgan, because, or at least more than we have been, because, you know, the offensive line was something we were a little skeptical about. And the offensive line, you know, they've played well. They've been creating holes for Cordell Patterson. They've been doing good things. And even yesterday, not having Elijah Wilkinson, who was out because of personal reasons, and Kobe Gossett filling in. I mean, they got the job done, and they dictated the terms in the line of scrimmage as far as on the offense goes. So is this offensive line really better than we expected? Or, I mean, is it more of a schematics thing? How do you feel about this offensive line play so far?
I think the offensive line has been much better than last year. Much improved. I don't think they've been terrible. They've been really good. They did a really good job with Aaron Donald in week two. We didn't even hardly call Aaron Donald's name in week two. That was a really good positive. But honestly, I think the offensive line's done a good job. They've opened holes. The thing that makes Cordarrelle Patterson the guy right now is the way he hits the hole. There's no hesitation. He sees a hole, he hits it, he goes, and then he delivers some blows. We had him on post game on the Falcons Radio Network, and I don't make a habit of doing this because these guys are trying to get home, blah blah blah. But when Cordero left the interview, the way he had to go was right where I was standing, because obviously I'm a part of those as far as getting them on the air and everything. And I just kind of stood like this, kind of like that in his way. And he looks at me and I said, we're going to get you 1,000 yards this year.
Yes, sir.
And he's like, boy, I hope. Because, you know, this guy, I had to double check, but he's had 200-yard games. He's well over 300 yards rushing already through three games. Mm-hmm. And he had a run out there in the second half, and he hurdles a guy, lands, takes another these giant strides because he's 6'4", guys. He's not a little guy. Excuse me, 6'2". He's a big dude, but he's a big 6'2", 220. Ooh, this guy looks like a linebacker coming downhill. Mm-hmm. In fact, he's bigger than a couple of our linebackers. to be honest, he's bigger than a few of their linebackers, to be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
And so he comes downhill, and then he just unloads on the free safety, Josh Jones, number 13. I mean, just buries him and still is going. Finally went down. But, man, this guy, he is so much fun to watch. I'm gonna tell you something. Mm-hmm. That first drive in the second half, Now they come out, I think they get a field goal to start the second half, and it's 23-20.
Yeah, 23-20. I think you're right.
Or 23-17. I don't know. I can't remember.
I think it was right. 23-20. I'm pretty sure.
He goes right down the field, and they were just huge holes. And yeah. he was running through them, dominating. And it was really fun to see. Dylan, he had 34 yards on 7 carries in the first half, averaging just under 5 yards a carry. Not bad. Mm-hmm. Not bad.
Nope.
In the second half, he had 10 carries for 107 yards. He ended up with an 8.3 yard average.
That's ridiculous.
Really picked it up.
Yeah.
And just fun to watch. You know, just the guy, just amazing. Great second half for him. And he's really stirring the pot for this team. Mm-hmm. He is a difference maker. You have to worry about him. The only thing that concerns me so far is how many carries. Mm-hmm. I don't want this to be a thing, and I'm not saying it is, but I don't want him to wear down. I mean, he's got 49 carries so far this year for 302 yards. He's averaging 100 yards a game.
Yep.
He's got a couple of touchdowns on the ground. And by far and away, the leading ball carrier. I mean, the next closest guy is Tyler Algier with 16 carries. Next running back, Marcus Mariota has carried the ball 25 times himself. So this team averaging 156.7 yards a game. This really helped them win this game. And by the way, they were rolling in that drive before Dronegate happens. They're rolling, Dylan.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Not the drone game, but hey, that was hilarious what the Atlanta Falcons put on their social media afterwards when they said, we're wondering what that was. And it was the drone, it had a little Atlanta Falcons thing on it, and then it had the L. That was funny. That was good work by the social media team there. But no, I'm glad you said what you said about Cordarrelle Patterson, because you literally read my mind and you answered the question I was going to ask you, which was going to be, are you worried about how much of a workload and how many carries Cordarrelle Patterson is getting? Because, you know, even though I just said Cordarrelle Patterson looks like he's drinking out of the fountain of youth, which he does, you know, he is in his 30s. So I really don't like the fact that he's getting that many carries, and it's only week 3. We've only been through 3 weeks of the season. The pace he's on now, I don't think that's sustainable. I don't think that'll be good for Cordarrelle Patterson. So that's where we need to get a Tyler Algier in there. He needs to split more of the carries. That's when we need to get a Damian Williams back, help take the load off of him. So I don't think that's sustainable. So while I love seeing CP run the football and run guys over and hurdle guys and score 17-yard rushing touchdowns and things like that, I don't want to see us overuse him so he's not at his best down the stretch. It has to be a nice balance. I don't like the fact that he's getting as much load as he is right now.
Well, and look, the Damian Williams thing has changed up how your workload is going, because you expected him to take a good part of it.
Right.
But Tyler Algier is slowly working in to taking a more bulk. I mean, he's had 16 carries over 2 games.
Uh-huh.
So he's at, you know, he's averaging 8 a game. He had 10 and against the Rams, so a little bit less this week. But it's coming there for him. And with Mariota, you know, taking it as well. And also, you know, yesterday, I something that you just kind of jogged my memory, the balance for yesterday. I mean, they threw the ball 20 times and they ran it 31. That's what they want to do. They want to run the ball more. So I expect Algier to kind of continue to help out in that workload and grow more comfortable. But right now you are leaning on heavy dose of CP. So, you know, just keep it. I mean, Just keep it going, dude. Let's just keep CP going. And by the way, can I? We briefly touched on this earlier, and I know we're getting up against it, so I want to mention this. You know, I think we put it to rest when we re-signed him.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole Grady Jarrett doesn't fit the Dean Pease defense is a load of crock. I mean, that's complete crap, garbage.
It is.
And it's being shown with how well he's playing so far this year. Grady, I've talked about it, 3 tackles for loss yesterday. Mm-hmm. He came into the season, came into the game with 1. He got another sack. Now he's got 2.5 sacks. He's got 4 tackles for loss, like 3 or 4 quarterback hits.
And honestly, he really should have had 2 sacks in that game, but 1, they made it a tackle for loss because I guess they said Geno Smith had turned into a runner on that one play. So Grady really should have had 2 sacks because he did. It seemed more like a sack than a tackle for loss. But anywho, to your point, sorry to interrupt, Grady is playing great. And I mean, he came in this offseason best shape of his life. Like you said, he got the contract extension. So yeah, him not fitting the DNP system is a load of baloney. I mean,
it just shows you that you got good players and you do what you know how to use them. If they're willing to do what you're asking them to do, then you'll find ways to use them. And I think that's obviously great. Grady was eating double teams at times yesterday. Grady had his helmet ripped off and didn't even get called. I thought they got away with a few things yesterday. I could probably say that every freaking week. But there's times where we get away with stuff. We got a call, I think, yesterday, I remember, that I thought was a little bit generous. And, look, I'll take it. We don't get them. But Grady Jarrett's played well. He's been a leader on this defense. AJ's best game of the year, I thought. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that earlier. Taquan Graham, or as I like Wes, I used to call him TQ. And I kind of like that. It makes it easy. But Taquan Graham's played well as well also. I Michael Walker just missed another interception. Michael Walker is – I'm hard on Michael Walker because I see it. I see how good he can be. But he seems to be having those plays every game that I always heard Deion Jones had. It always pissed me off. Deion, we always harked on the one play Deion didn't make.
Yeah.
Michael Walker is still learning those situations. But, man, he's right there. He's right there. He almost had another one. He is an interception, I should say. And I said something to him. Yes, I said, dude, you almost got another one. He goes, yeah, they're going to keep throwing to me though. He knows it. No, it's funny, but he's showing some growth, but you know, the paper cut thing really killed us. We can't let Cleveland do that next week with, Amari Cooper coming in here and Jacoby Brissett's another guy. If you get, he's smart enough to take what you give him, shut some of that down. Let's get that pass rush heated back up. It showed up when we needed it yesterday.
Yep.
That's fine. But through 3 quarters, you really had no pass rush, but then it showed up, which is kind of the opposite we saw in the Saints game where we had it early and then it was gone.
Yep.
So look, great win. I know we're getting close to the end here. It's just great to get that one out of the way. It's kind of like, you know, getting that that first win is in any sport seems to be the toughest, and then you can kind of get some confidence. I think this team's got some confidence they can build on. And look, the elephant in the room that we haven't touched on either, and neither one of us were worried about it, was Kyle Pitts' usage, right?
Oh, yeah. I was happy. I think what they did yesterday was perfect, because what I was afraid of is them wanting to silence all the critics and other media members and pundits and whatnot. I was scared of them going to over force feed Kyle Pitts, but no, what they did yesterday, I thought was perfect. That little tight end screen that went for 21 yards and almost put Kyle Pitts in the end zone. Perfect play. That was something to get him involved, but it's not too risky, but it's just a good play to get your best player going. Like, that was perfect. And the other ways they got him involved, you know, find him taking shots downfield. Marcus Mariota threw a nice, I don't remember if it was like a corner route or a fade route, but more of a back shoulder type thing. But it was a 50-50 ball that Kyle Pitts went up and got. Like, what they did yesterday, what Arthur Smith and Marcus Mariota did yesterday to get their tight end involved, I think they did it beautifully. They didn't overforce feed him, but they let you know, hey, we can get this dude involved. He's a part of our offense, so let's stop talking about it and put that narrative to bed, just like we can put the Grady Jarrett doesn't belong in a DNP's defense to bed. So I love what they did with Kyle Pitts yesterday.
Well, you know, and Arch talked about this, and I'm big on trying to give guys credit when they say something, mm-hmm. and something's, you know, but Arch mentioned on the broadcast the maturity of Drake London, where there was they threw a screen to Drake in the game, and Drake showed patience, let his blockers get out in front, made a nice game.
Right.
And in the game against LA, he kind of rushed and looked like looked like he didn't allow it. So, because those screens, sometimes you got to allow things to develop. And so the Drake London goes out, has another three catch game, I think 54 yards. He was targeted six times and a touchdown. And that touchdown, let me tell you something.
That was a man's touchdown.
That was a big time throw from Marcus Mariota, because there's a free blitzer right in his face as he goes, and Drake ran the route perfect. He knew Drake was going to be there. He hit it, and Drake's adjustment after the catch to say, "Hey, you ain't bringing me down with that BS arm tackle crap." That's big boy football. Drake London has blown me away so far. And in fact, I'm throwing you on the spot because I just came up with this, but we do something like similar to this in Dukes and Bell, where we do game ball, no ball. I'm going to give a game ball out, and I want you to give one out. I'm going to give one on defense, give one on offense. I'll go first with offense because you know where I'm going with this. And that way you can give the one on defense, so you kind of have a leg up. But I'm giving my game ball on offense to Cordarrelle Patterson. He is the guy that makes this. He is the energy for this offense. He is the man on this offense. And he showed it yesterday, because what do I want a game changer to do, Dylon? Take over the second half. And that's what he did yesterday.
That's what CP did yesterday for sure.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My game ball on defense, it has to go to Grady Jarrett. I mean, just the way he affected the ball game throughout the game, made big plays. I mean, made one of the biggest, if not the biggest play in the game, getting that sack right before Richie Grant got that interception. You know, he made it a third down and long situation, and, you know, that led to Richie Grant getting the interception, thus icing the game away. So on defense, got to give it to Grady Jarrett, because, I mean, he's really just been playing his butt off the entire season. And, I mean, his hard work really showed off yesterday. He just kept fighting, kept going, kept at it. And, you know, like he said it during the post-game interview with Arch. He said, you know, at this point, I'm not giving my energy to calls that I don't get. I'm just going to keep playing, keep fighting. And that's what he did yesterday. And he got himself five tackles, three for loss, and a sack. So my game ball is definitely going to Grady Jarrett on the defensive end. And I want to piggyback off that Drake London thing, because I also want to give credit to Arch. You talk about the maturity of Drake London, too. You talk about how he understands what he needs to do and where he needs to be. Arch talked about it when that touchdown play happened, how Drake knew he had to snap his head around real quick, because he knew that pressure was getting in on Marcus Mariota. He knew he was coming open, and I guess maybe it was kind of the hot route on that play. But he snapped his head around. Marcus got the ball to him beautifully, and then he made that nice spin move and then just carried a defender into the end zone. So, no, I just wanted to piggyback off that Drake London play, because that was a great play all the way around from Marcus to start, and then Drake London finishing it. So there you go.
Yeah, one final note for me.
Yeah,
is I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the effort that Rashawn Evans had yesterday.
Yeah,
I think we might have mentioned it earlier, but I just had to think that at one more time. He had 12 tackles, or in on 12 tackles. I think like nine were solo or something. But those two, you know, almost makes an interception.
Yep.
Probably wish he wouldn't have touched it. One of them was a good deflection we talked about earlier. It was probably a first down. It was going to be a first down with DK Metcalf. AJ was in coverage there, and he was on point. But the throw still almost, you know, was very accurate. Right. Geno was very accurate yesterday with the ball. Yeah. You know, some of them didn't have to be, but he made some good throws yesterday. But Rashawn Evans played well, and you can't underestimate how well he played. And Troy Anderson got in there on some snaps and was playing. So they're trying to get some guys. They're trying to win games and get some guys like Troy Anderson and such some reps. So look, great win. Happy to be back from Seattle. Happy to be back at ATL. I've never called it that. Happy to be back in Atlanta, where I belong, and looking forward to a home game this week. But we got a couple more shows this week of Peachtree football. So we're just getting started, baby.
We're just getting started during the week. We're ready to go. Bo's happy to be back in Hotlanta. I'm just kidding. No, literally nobody wants to call it Hotlanta. Please don't call it Hotlanta. Anywho, we got some great shows coming up for you. So we will keep getting deeper and deeper into this upcoming matchup against the Cleveland Browns. But you know, we had to come on here and react to our first victory of the season. Our first victory Monday here on Peachtree Football as the Falcons get a 27-23 win over the Seattle Seahawks. So we'll be back on Wednesday. We'll mix in a little bit of both. We'll talk about the things we saw in Seattle. We'll slightly talk about a few things coming up this upcoming week against the Cleveland Browns. So we'll give you the best of both worlds on Wednesday. But no, great win. And this young team is playing with some confidence now. And that was a huge win to give these guys a big morale boost coming back home, a big confidence boost to the young guys, because these young guys, not just Drake London, but Michael Walker, like you talked about. Now, Richie Grant getting his first career interception, almost really should have had it too. But these young guys are starting to figure out what they need to do in this league. They're starting to figure out that, hey, I can play with these guys. I belong in the NFL. I'm an NFL caliber player, and I know that now. So they're getting some confidence behind them, and confidence is a huge, huge thing in the NFL, and the Atlanta Falcons are riding high with that right about now. So for Bo Morgan, it's Dylan Matthews. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to Peachtree Football. Make sure you follow the podcast, download the podcast wherever you get your podcast. That's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast. We are there on Peachtree Football. Thank you guys for tuning in again. Till we talk to you guys next time. Peace.